Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, welcome to today's broadcast. We always enjoy having this opportunity to meet with you, our listeners, at this time every day, and talk about the one person that is worth talking about, and his name is Jesus. I was thinking the other day, you know, this really is a show about Jesus, a program about Christ the Lord. But if it's a program about him, it's really a program about us, because when we come to know who he really is, what he's really accomplished for us, how he abides in us as our risen Savior, it really gives substance to who we are. We find out our identity, our real purpose in life, you know, how we can experience true joy. So anytime we're talking about Jesus, we're really talking about us as human beings and how we can flourish.
Yeah, at least us the way we're made to be.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. What we see out in the world and what we were like before knowing Christ, that wasn't what God's design was. That wasn't his purpose for us. Sin entered in, and sin changed things and brought death. And boy, we try, you know, our hardest to take death out of the equation, but it's still there. Uh-huh. Well, in this gospel message, God incorporates death. He wants us to realize our spiritual death so that resurrection can take place, so that we can experience newness of life. And all that happens in Jesus. It happens right with who he is, what he's accomplished for us. And here's what it means to us. Yesterday we read a passage out of Hebrews 10, verses 11 and 12. I want to go ahead and read verse 14 for us, but I'll start with 12. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ finished the work in regards to sin. There's nothing more that needs to be done. It's much like the creation story. God created everything in 6 days. Well, after he finished, there was nothing more to create. He had done everything he wanted to do, so he rested. And a lot of people wonder, well, was he tired? Was he, you know, just fatigued, exhausted, couldn't do anything more? No, God isn't like that. He is an endless supply of energy and creativity. But he just looked and said, it's finished. And we were the last creation that he made. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we were exactly what God wanted us to be. And our first experience was to rest with God and to enjoy that relationship. Well, Jesus is restoring all of that. He finished the work in regards to sin. And our first response to that is to rest in what Christ has accomplished. Yes. It's called the Sabbath rest. Well, so Jesus sat down, and it says, since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy, or those who are the sanctified ones. So Jesus has made us perfect. Now, we're not talking about flawless perfection. That's not what this word means. It's talking about an end goal, that God has delivered us back to his end goal for us so that we can experience rest in Jesus. So when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about us, and specifically this rest that we can experience by faith in him.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about it on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Plenty of open lines available, 844-322-2742. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Piper today, and we welcome you. Again, the number 844-322-2742, or the simple way, 844-32-BASIC. Well, let's start today, Richard, in Queens, New York. And let's talk with Bernard, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Bernard.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing
this
well.
I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome, my friend.
Yeah, I've been listening to the program, but I have two questions I need to ask. The first one is why did Stephen see Jesus standing when he was being stoned?
Well, I don't know for sure, Bernard, but I think Jesus just wanted to let Stephen know that he was there, and that his martyrdom, being stoned to death for his stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that Jesus died, was crucified, and then God had raised him from the dead. His stand on that particular gospel message enabled him to see Jesus at that very traumatic time in his life, as he is feeling those stones hitting his body and slowly taking his life away. I think Jesus just appeared to him and said, I'm here. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It was a glorious moment for Stephen, and something that I think we can take hope from.
Okay, now my second question is that I believe it's John or Matthew's 20:22, when Jesus had breathed on the disciples and told them to receive the Holy Spirit, but then he told them to wait into the upper room and they would receive the Holy Spirit. Why was it necessary for them to receive the Holy Spirit twice?
Well, I think in John 20, this is really, after the resurrection, I think he was simply preparing them for what was up ahead when the gift of God's Spirit would be given. Because in John chapter 7, it had already been revealed that the Spirit would not be given until Jesus had ascended. So we know that from an earlier chapter. So in light of that, I think this was just a statement of preparation for these disciples. I know there are some theologians that will say that the disciples actually received the gift of the Holy Spirit when Jesus said, when he breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit. But I think it's really a statement of preparation, preparing them for what's up ahead in the pouring out of God's Spirit the day of Pentecost.
Yeah, one of the things we know based on the disciples' own responses is that if they received the Spirit here, it didn't stick, because they were still questioning right up until the time Jesus left what was going on. They didn't have the boldness. They didn't have an understanding of what Jesus had accomplished until the Holy Spirit showed up on Pentecost. So this had to be kind of an enabling thing, but not the final deal. Otherwise, we would have seen the disciples behaving much differently.
Right. Okay, I think I understand. Because they still was a little fearful.
Yes.
Prior to them receiving that Holy Spirit.
Correct.
Right. Okay. All right, well, that seemed to satisfy my curiosity. I appreciate your response to my question.
You're so welcome, yes. Bernard, and thank you so much for calling today. Let me put you on hold. We would love to send you a special gift just to say thank you for being a first-time caller. Can you hang on?
Okay, great.
Hang on. Okay. Love first-time callers.
Yes, absolutely.
And maybe you're out there, you've listened for a while, like Bernard, and you've had questions, but you just haven't picked up the phone to call. Well, we would love to welcome you to the Basic Gospel broadcast today. The number, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We do have a special gift that we want to send you. It is a booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. This is really foundational, important stuff that enables us to experience the abundant life that God has for us. We've said time and time again, Richard, through our years together in ministry and working with different people, until somebody settles the forgiveness issue, they're never going to experience the fullness of God's love in their life. Yeah, so this is an important thing, isn't it?
It's like everything is up for grabs until you settle this one.
Yes, indeed.
And then it all falls into place.
Yes, indeed. Well, if you would like a copy of that, we want to send it to you. You can go to our website at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the link that says get your free resource. I think it's on the bottom left-hand corner of the page. Fill out the information, and we will send it to you. We can send you a print copy, or I think there's a way to get a downloaded copy if you prefer to read it online on your Kindle or iPad or something like that. So we would love to send that to you. It's our gift to you simply for requesting it.
Yes.
Well, 844-322-2742, that's the number. Let's go to Yonkers, New York, and talk to Manuel. Hi, Manuel.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. And praise God. I would like to ask you a question. First of all, I love your show, and I love the fact that you guys lead people to Christ. There's no doubt about that. I'm just a little concerned as far as the Holy Sabbath. You know, I believe that we are to keep the Sabbath. You know, is in the Ten Commandments. It's also in Hebrews chapter 4, and any commandment of Jesus Christ. And this is just what I believe in my heart, what the Lord has put in my spirit. Now, of course, we are humans, and we're going to fall. But that's why he gave us repentance, so that we can repent from our sins. You know, but I believe that Jesus Christ did not abolish any of the commandments whatsoever, especially the commandment that is the longest and the commandment that people fight the most, which is the fourth commandment, the Sabbath.
Well, Manuel, that's an interesting question, and it really gets down to this particular reality. What covenant do we abide in today? Are we old covenant or are we new covenant?
Both. We should abide in both.
Well, that's not what the
word of God doesn't change.
Well, that's not what the scripture says.
The word of God remains forever.
But that's the word of God remains forever. But as far as the covenants are concerned, for example, in Galatians chapter 3, there was this question, why the law then? It starts in verse 19 of Galatians chapter 3.
He's talking about ceremonial laws.
No, he's talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the whole enchilada, so to speak. And he's saying that Mosaic covenant had a start date and it had an end date. And that end date was the time that the seed would come, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ came, and he fulfilled that old covenant. He fulfilled it in its entirety. He didn't abolish one aspect of it. He fulfilled it. He took the penalty. He took the punishment for all of our sins. And he freed us from that. See, the old covenant was an if-then proposition. If we obeyed all of the statutes and commandments, then God would be our God and we would be his people. Well, what happened if the people of Israel did not obey those commands? There was all sorts of punishments that were attached to those times of disobedience. When they went into idol worship, they were taken captive by foreign lands. When different people committed murder or adultery, they were stoned for their actions. They were put to death. Well, that's the nature of the law. The law condemns, the law kills. That's exactly what the New Testament writers say about it. Paul said this, I've been made competent as a minister of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. Why? Because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And he goes on to say that this law written on tablets of stone, So he tells us exactly what he's talking about. Yes. It's not the ceremonial law. It was the Ten Commandments and all the ceremonial laws that followed. He said all of that became a ministry of death, but in a good way. We needed to know our condition apart from Christ. And once we learn that, once the purpose of the law has been satisfied in us, the law gives way to the work of Jesus Christ and His Spirit in us. That work is to give us new birth. That work is to raise us to life in Jesus. That work is to give us a new identity. That work is to give us a new way to live, which is by faith in the resurrected Christ. That's the story of the gospel. So the old covenant had a purpose,
yes,
but it also had an end date. And that end date was the moment we came to Christ by faith. Why? Because at that point, the law gave way to Jesus,
yes,
and said, this guy is all yours. You have Adam. Work in his life. And what does he do? He works love. And as Jesus said, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, Manuel had a question about the Sabbath.
Yes.
You grew up keeping the Sabbath, keeping the fourth commandment. That was front and center in your everyday life, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I don't know whether Manuel is from the same background as I was, but if I didn't keep the Sabbath, I was lost.
Yes.
Well, I knew I couldn't keep the Sabbath perfectly, so I had no assurance of salvation. I was just afraid all of the time. And then I finally started reading passages in the Bible that talk about the law being a shadow, but Christ being the reality. And I discovered that Sabbath commandment was put there specifically to point me to Jesus, who had fulfilled all the requirements of the law, so that I could rest in Him. I could not rest in the Sabbath, but I could rest in Jesus. And so now, rather than keeping a day, every day of my life, I'm working and living and playing and sleeping and everything else I do in the rest that is the Sabbath of Jesus Christ. And, I love the law. It was there specifically because God created it to do something, and it actually helped me to come to Jesus.
Yeah.
And once I'm there, I'm no longer
it
under
did
that
exactly
law.
What God
exactly
wanted it to do
what
in your life. And you made just I think the operative point in this whole discussion, the fact that the law is a shadow. It's not the real thing. Mm-hmm. So now the one who casts that shadow is standing in front of us, and he is actually living inside of us. His name is Jesus, and in him we get to experience the real rest that comes through faith in Christ, resting in his finished work. Well, Manuel, we appreciate your call. We hope that helps. And if there are those out there that are struggling in their Christian life, they're not experiencing rest, they're not experiencing a sense of peace in Christ, we hope this new covenant message will be a blessing in your life. Well, let's go to Queens and talk to Rick, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Rick.
Hi, good afternoon. I hear the phrase, the name of Jesus, that combination of words, and I wonder whether it's ambiguous as to whether the name is Jesus or whether there's a second name that is not mentioned, which is understood to be the name of Jesus. I'm not trying to sound boring, but knowing the name of who we worship and who is King matters a lot.
Yes, it does. I think the phrase in the name of Jesus, you know, a lot of folks just kind of attach that to the end of the prayer, like, over and out type of thing. So we don't really understand what that phrase means. And I think it behooves us to figure out what it means. And I think it's talking about in the authority of Jesus Christ, the fact that he has actually accomplished something on our behalf. And I love, for example, 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, John writes this, "I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name." Okay? Because of what Jesus has accomplished, he is both Lord and God. That's who he is. He is Messiah. That's who Jesus is. He is the great I am. That's who Jesus is, on account of his name. The fact that he actually has the authority to forgive sins, we can say that we are forgiven people. That his name is quite the guarantee. You know, we go out and we buy stuff, and then we have guarantees, and then something happens with the stuff that we buy, and we try to go and get the guarantee honored, and they can't deliver on their promises. But Jesus always can and always does. Why? Because he's the only one that has the real authority to do so. So when we're talking about in the name of Jesus, we're resting everything that we have, resting everything that we are on him and in him.
Yeah, very rich phrase.
Yes, very rich indeed. Hope that helps, Rick. Thanks for your call.
It had to do, I think, maybe with the grammar, the phrasing of it. It seemed to take away from Jesus as being the actual name. It seems to hint that there's a second name, but you answered my question, and now I can rest in the name of Jesus as being the name Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
As being the name.
Absolutely.
It's not ambiguous anymore.
Excellent, Rick.
Thank you.
Glad you called today, my friend.
Thank you.
Well, let's quickly go to Euless, Texas, and talk to Joseph, listening to us on The Word 100.7 here in the Dallas area. Hi, Joseph. Welcome.
Hello, sir. Sorry for the noise. I'm a truck driver, and I'm in my truck right now. But I was kind of I had an interest in the question that Lamar asked earlier about Jesus breathing on the disciples and why they had to wait until the day of Pentecost. I just want to throw a little light on it and give my question.
Okay.
I think, Brother Lamar, if you're listening, Jesus did actually breathe on the disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. But just as the brother had answered you earlier, the Holy Spirit would not be effectively in operation until Jesus has left. However, for the work to be effective, the Holy Spirit, they had to be inaugurated.
Joseph, let me jump in. We just have a couple of minutes left for the broadcast, so let me jump in. First, I want to say thank you for calling.
Yes.
I'm glad you're listening here in Dallas-Fort Worth on The Word. We pray that you will continue to listen. Just a couple of things about what he's saying. Jesus breathed on them. He did say, receive the gift of the Spirit. That was coming. I said there's a lot of folks that believe they actually received the Spirit based on what John 7:39 says. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. And that glorification happened through the ascension.
Yes.
So I take that to mean that the Holy Spirit was actually poured out on the day of Pentecost, and that's when the disciples actually received that gift, that promise that Jesus made before. So they waited, they received that great gift of God's Spirit, as we do when we believe, and that's the key truth. The moment that you believe in Jesus Christ, the very moment that you believe in him, you put your faith in him, his finished work through his death, burial, and resurrection. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You're born again, and that gift of God's Spirit is given to you.
Yes.
And he indwells you forever with the promise he will never leave you nor forsake you. It's good news. Well, Joseph, again, thank you for calling. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you some information. But this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for being a part of this edition of the broadcast. As a reminder, we have a special gift, a free gift to anyone who wants to know more about forgiveness, the door to life. It's available at our website, basicgospel.com. www.thenewtestamentpodcast.net. We'll see you tomorrow.